It was fantastic. It was great. Tied in nicely to some of my sheep talk, I guess. To start off with our praise and prayer stuff, I just want to quickly ask you guys to, there's a letter on the bulletin board that one of our church members gave to us. If you wouldn't mind taking some time and reading it, if you have a hard time just standing there staring at the bulletin board, come up to my office, ask me for a copy, and I can do that. It's a very important letter for our church family, and I think we need to come alongside and read this and support and love and pray for the letter that is there. So please, go have a look at it, have a gander in your free time. That would be awesome. Oh, no, I forgot my pen. Anybody have anything they want to bring forward, though, for this time of praise and prayer? Thank you. Absolutely. Oh, good. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Oh, absolutely. And her husband will actually have a chance to see Fran and be with her. That's awesome. Thank you. Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. That's fantastic. Thank you. Praise God. No one was in there when that happened. All right. Well, let's take this to prayer then, and let's remember to pray for, obviously, safe travels that are coming up soon. I imagine some of us probably start traveling right away here. And so we want to pray for safe travels during the holiday season and such. Lord, today we come to you and we praise you. And Father, we are just so, so blessed. We just got to see a bunch of kids perform quite a thing for us. And it was enjoyable. It was funny. It was uplifting. It was praiseworthy, Lord. And so we just thank you for the efforts that they put in, the efforts that especially the Sunday school teachers put in, as I can't imagine what it's like to herd them little ones. And so we just thank you for all the work that is put into that. Thank you for the smiles the kids had, the desire to present something on your behalf, Lord. We thank you for that. And so today we bring to you still Fran, as she's out in Dubai there, and it was the brain aneurysm issue. And we just pray, Lord, that you give her safe travels and that you would be with the RN and the doctors as they transport her back safely here to Canada. We thank you for the answered prayer and the fact that she gets to come back home. She gets to be around family and she gets to see her husband again. God, we thank you for that. Please continue to work in our brain and mending that and healing that, Jesus. And we also want to lift up our brother Joel as he has a job interview. And we are so thankful for the opportunities that you provide for work. And God, we just pray that you provide work for everybody in this building and that you would give stability to our families, Lord Jesus. But today we just want to pray for Joel as we pray for guidance there and we pray for clear direction and that your hand would be upon where you're leading the Cedar family, Lord Jesus. Give Joel the words to say during the interview and take away nerves and be with him. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we pray this in your name. And then we pray for Kyle and Kyla during this time and for all the employees that are at the farm and all of that, Lord Jesus, that you would just be with them during this time as there is a massive loss that occurred there on Tuesday. And so during this time of hardship, we just pray that you bring comfort as nobody was injured during this fire and nobody was hurt, and we're just so thankful for that. But we just pray for a quick recovery for the farm. And I know that's that's going to be a miracle for sure, Lord, but we just pray that you would be upon this family during this time. Jesus, we lift you up and praise you. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so during this time, I'm actually going to call up the Mosier family, and it'll shortly be followed by the elders as I want them to come up and pray for them as well. So Kyla and Kyle took the steps of becoming members within our church, and so this has kind of been a long time coming that we've been waiting to do this. It's just a lot of sickness that's spread around and such. Either that or they were just avoiding me. I'm not sure what it was. That's probably a wise move. But we are so thankful to have you joining our family. So if I could have the elders come up and we could pray for you guys, that would be awesome. And we are so blessed to have your little family here. I don't have any mic this time on my lapel, so he can't steal it. Hezekiah stole it last time. So excellent. Joel and Mike, would you mind praying for them?
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Kyle and Kyla and the commitment they made to our congregation. They show so much leadership even before being members, and we just pray they'd be blessed for that. And we just thank them. Thank you for who they are and their little kids, and I just ask that you be with them, and we just appreciate everything that they do.
Oh Lord, it's good to have this church and to have a new family that joining our membership. And Lord, we just pray a blessing upon this family. They got three lovely children and just servants, Father. And we just pray for health and for just guidance, Lord, as they raise their children for you, and may we as a church support them in whatever way. But we just do thank you for them, and we just pray a blessing upon this family. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Exciting because Kyle's one of our worship leaders, and I know Kyle has been heavily involved in youth in the past, so we are definitely blessed to have him as our church family here. Thank you for coming up. All right, during this time now we're gonna turn towards missions, and I think for me I it was placed on my heart as I was trying to figure out, okay, what should I do for this Sunday? Because obviously the kids stuff, and you know, we want to uplift Jesus, and Holy Spirit's just like, we need to talk about some of the mission stuff in our lives, because These are people that are out there serving, and they don't have the opportunities to be around family during this time of year. They don't have that that amazing experience that maybe we have. They're out there serving and loving Jesus and loving people of other cultures and such. So I just want us to think about them during this time. Matthew 24:14 states this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." If you're familiar with kind of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, you understand that this is one of A.B. Simpson's favorite passages, and his heart really was for missions and for reaching out to people as he set up meetings and tabernacles to have these kind of amazing mission gathering moments. So during this time, I'm actually going to call Conrad up here to present our first one. If you ever want information on our missional people, we have these kind of cards like this. They're hanging out on one of our tables out here. We don't want to forget about them. I forgot to get information about our MAF people, but we love them, and I probably should have done my homework on them. But we have a lot of mission families here that we want to uplift today. So Conrad, please come on up and share with us.
Thank you, Brad. Good morning, everyone. The update I have is very short and sweet, and quite literally, in this case, no news is good news. I'm going to read verbatim basically from their most recent email. Hello, partner in prayer. Global news informs us that things are out of control in many places this week. What am I getting at? We have it really good here in Senegal. No political unrest to speak of, no sickness in our home, fresh coconut juice from the tree in our front yard. There is much to be thankful for. Praise God with us. Please, as you choose to pray for us, thank the Lord for his goodness. Praise him for the answers to prayer Senegal is living out these days. Pray for our neighboring nations who are facing unrest and violence. Pray for God's will to become ours, even though doing so may cause us pain. We are grateful to have you on our team. Love, Jerry and Lois. Short and sweet, right? In their letter, there was no specific example. There were no specific examples of the chaos going on in the world, but a quick peruse of the social media or traditional news outlets, you'll find many examples. The two that come to my mind were the protests in Hong Kong, and November 17th marked the one-year anniversary of the Yellow Vest protest in France. The media indicated that there was a surge in violence that day. It makes the current events in North America look like a tea party. At least that's the way I see it. For that, I'm very grateful. Reflecting on these current events, I'm reminded of Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Jerry and Lois offer some scripture to you as well. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Thank you all for your patience in listening. To any of you who are not going to be at the candlelight service on Christmas Eve, my family and I would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and God bless. Stephen, I think you're up next.
I will be presenting for Kyle and Sarah Miller and their little girl, Avonlea. And so I also will more or less be reading verbatim. And I feel a little bit underdressed compared to Conrad and Brad. I didn't know there was a dress code today, so no, I'm okay. So Kyle has wrote, language learning is good for the soul. We've been in this new country for about a month now, and by new, we mean new to us, especially considering its remarkably antiquity. Perhaps the most drastic transition has been learning a new language. At this point, about a month in now, we know insert drum roll, almost nothing. Basically, we know just enough of the language to know how ridiculous we sound when we try to use it. Just this past week, I, Kyle, was gaining confidence in my language learning and even conversing with some locals. One of the phrases I learned was, "I understand." I used this multiple times in my conversations, becoming excited that I could communicate and was tracking with the others, even though I've only been here less than a month. "I understand," I would say empathetically. This exchange was exhilarating. That is, until this past Sunday, when I learned that there are two ways to say "I understand," depending on the context. Guess which one I was using. So in these exchanges, saying "I understand" revealed the exact opposite to be true. Beyond learning the ins and outs of the language, there's a whole different level of understanding, which involves culture. In our Canadian chivalry, we always say "please" and "thank you." Naturally, we learned these phrases early on. We felt so proud of ourselves showing such kindness and love to everyone, particularly in the restaurants where we felt we could use these the most. Only the reactions we were getting were not quite what we anticipated. The waiter or the store owner would come and offer us something, and we would say, "thank you," only for them to look slightly discouraged and then take it away. This made us want to be extra polite, so we emphasized our kindness by saying "please" with all of our requests. "We would like bread, please. We would like some water, please. We would like tea, please." The reaction to this was always quick, slightly panicked service, and the waiters would always come to us with a sheepish look on their face, avoiding eye contact with their supervisor. "What's happening? We're trying to be so polite." You can probably see what's going on here. We found out a couple weeks in that saying "thank you" when offered something actually means "no, thank you." Oddly enough, saying "that's okay" or "I'm okay" means "yes, I would love some more," and that caused some excessively large meals. And "please" is not always polite. In fact, there are only select circumstances where it would be. Instead, politeness is woven into how the phrase is structured. It's much more subtle. More than that, tacking "please" onto a sentence, particularly a short one, is actually just demanding. Kind of like, "please, what's not on the table? That's right, bread. Now you know what you have to do to go fix it." We came here with great confidence in our native language. So much, in fact, that we didn't think twice about it. Not knowing the language here has opened a whole world of challenges, but with it, a whole world of perspective. Every day our language learning is opening our soul in beautiful ways. Perhaps the most beautiful lesson we are learning is how the absence of language forces us to rearrange our entire approach to ministry. Think about it. What are some ways you might reach out to your neighbor or your coworker with hope and love this week? Now remove any spoken or written communication. How does that change your plans? What we're discovering is that this opens several pathways. One is apathy. "Oh, well, I can't communicate properly, so I might as well not do anything about it." This leads very quickly to hopeless self-sufficiency. Another is naivety. "I'll just do whatever, and I'm sure God can miraculously transform these gestures into profound acts of hope and love." While it is true that God can do anything, this path is covered with deceptive disconnection between our hearts and the heart of God for this world. Still another is prideful obsession. "I must learn this language quickly so I can be effective, and then process use all tools at my disposal to accomplish God's will here." Again, there are pieces of truth here, but at its core, it's misplaced faith. When ministry becomes what we can accomplish on God's behalf, the heart of the gospel is absent. This leads us to the pathway that has subversely opened the heart of God in our work here. Our own work is meaningless and effortless, worthless. And yet God fills our work and efforts with meaning and worth. Where intentionality meets desperation for God's intervention, ministry meets faith that God is already at work long before we arrived. And in this faith, God fills our moments with meaning, worth, and privilege of witnessing life-changing work that can only be from Him. I think that's why so many of us are disappointed with our experience of God in the world. We desperately search for clear evidence of God, all while pushing Him aside to accomplish His work. What might happen if we decide to witness God at work rather than witnessing the work of God? What if our circumstances required us to believe that God would work in the midst of our incapacity? What if our most fundamental abilities, like language, were taken out of the equation? Could God still work? When we consider the opportunities and work before us, this season of language learning empathetically, not about learning a language. It is about learning the heart and power of God who knows every language and uses us in the very places we have the least understanding. Every moment we find ourselves at loss to respond to an individual or express much-needed hope to the people we encounter, we are reminded of the Creator who speaks directly to the hearts and is ever able to accomplish what we never could. Throughout this journey, God surprises us with beautiful evidence of his work. So again, this is from Kyle and Sarah and their daughter, Avonlea Miller. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephen. I just want to point out one quick thing before we continue on. Some people we can't inform which country they're in or anything like that. So if you're like, hey, you didn't tell us where they're from, there's a reason for that. It's for safety for the people that are serving there. So just be aware of that if you're wondering if we left something out. Anyways, before I get going, I guess I can ask the people right here, Central, do we have any updates on Nick and Jocelyn at all? Or they're back serving Carla?
Nick and Jocelyn are still in Chad, and as of 2 weeks ago, they are very, very involved with the Ebola vaccines. As you know, 2014 Ebola has been an issue. They do lots of flying, varied, but they've been very involved in flying vaccines and medical relief and working with the hospitals that have been, some of these hospitals have been turned into quarantine sites over the last couple of years, so they've been very busy. You got to meet them this summer, and they're doing great, and they would send their love to you. I know if they knew I was speaking to you, I just got an email from them early this morning, and they're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us to Daryl and Birgit. The next slide there. They're serving in Monaco at the Monaco Christian Fellowship, and I'll just read some of what they have to say. And by the way, for pretty much every one of these people that are serving, there's websites you can go to check out what is happening in their lives. There's blogs you can check out. Some of them have blogs. Kyle and Sarah do, at least. And so if that's your thing and you love doing that, please feel free to check out what's going on and how God's working in their lives and how these people are serving in a loving capacity in different countries. So Daryl says this: "This has indeed been a season of planting, both God planting in our lives and our obedience in planting in others' lives around us. First off, let us speak on a personal note. We have experienced many challenges during our first year here. When we arrived in the Côte d'Azur, we first lived in an apartment with our daughter, Tatiana. What we did not anticipate were ongoing challenges with our living accommodations and the sooner-than-imagined return of our daughter back to Canada to pursue her professional musical goals. Our apartment presented many trials, including black mold and discourteous neighbors, and in the end, we could no longer stay." Ooh, that's unfortunate. "After 1 year, we continue to love and serve MCF, Monaco Christian Fellowship, as faithfully as we know how. And this brings us to the planting and sowing, which has been unfolding in the life of our beautiful church family. Ministry note is the Old Testament book of Isaiah offers this beautiful song about the Lord's vineyard, which seems to mirror the gainful progression we are experiencing at Monaco Christian Fellowship. Speaking of God, Isaiah records, he plowed the land, cleared the stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes. Under God's provisional guidance, we too endeavor to patiently prepare, nurse, and watch over God's vineyard here with the Principality of Monaco. We are very grateful for the growth of these seeds which were planted over the past year." And Daryl goes on to give many examples of how their ministries are kicking off. And if you want, you can come and get the personal kind of notes that I have on that and what that looks like. There's a lot of them, trust me. And Daryl continues on by saying, "God is growing our numbers. We have seen many new attenders since our arrival here, and they're first-time visitors to MCF almost every weekend. There have also been many answers to prayer, which we have seen in the lives of our church family. We see God at work among us. As we look ahead to the coming ministry year, we're planning to offer more opportunities for people to explore the faith and become more deeply rooted in their relationship with Christ. Here are a few seeds God has planted in our hearts. As they began Alpha at MCF, they have coffee with the pastor, there's a new website, there's a house of prayer, and a pastoral council that has all started there. He finishes off his update by saying, "Please pray." We are excited to see what God is doing, and we are looking forward to building more and stronger relationships in this area in the years to come. We are so grateful for your continued support and ask that you continue to hold us in prayer. Our ongoing prayer requests are for our family, especially that God continues to sustain and comfort Cassia and Jeremy in Canada as they miss us. As far as we are concerned, it has been almost 2 years since we have had what one could describe as a vacation with rest. Pray that we'll find the space and the means to take a true break. We also ask prayer for continued spiritual growth in the lives of our church family and, of course, our lives as well, that people would be drawn and their lives transformed by the power of God. Thank you, and may our Lord Jesus Christ truly bless you with abundance in every way as you are true to him. Much love, Daryl and Bergen. So those are a bunch of the missions families that we're supporting right now as a church, whether it's through prayer or whether it's through finances. And I want to challenge us to continue to do that and to remember them as they are overseas during this Christmas season and they're not able to gather around with their loved ones in the same fashion, although they do have FaceTime nowadays, I imagine. So let's remember them during this time. Let's remember those people serving overseas and spreading Jesus' name to the nations. During this time, I'd like to enter prayer, if that's okay. And Grandma Ruth, would you mind saying a prayer for us, for the missions people right now? Thank you. Okay. Pray for the mission.
Shepherds feared and trembled.